You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Is this all there is to life? There's got to be more to life than this.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, lead us to real faith in you and in your Son, Jesus. Give us, with that faith, real life, to be enjoyed in hope which does not leave anyone ashamed. Teach us to live and to give, even as Jesus gave himself and lives to be the Savior of the world and the Lord of heaven and earth. In his saving and lordly name, we pray. Amen. Is this all there is to life? There's got to be more to life than this. People all over the world have this feeling. It's a deep-seated feeling, what some people today call a gut feeling. It's there. No matter how hard you try to think it away, or to play it away, or even to work it away. Is this all there is? There's got to be more to life than this. Jesus Christ was talking to that deep-seated feeling in ordinary language everyone can understand. See to it, he said, that you keep yourself from every kind of greed. Life does not come to anyone in the overflowing of things that belong to him. The feeling to which Jesus was speaking begins very early in life. Children know it as well as their parents and grandparents. Perhaps you can remember the time when you celebrated a birthday and opened all the gifts. After all the packages were unwrapped, you thought to yourself, but probably did not say it out loud, "Is this all? Is this the end? Aren't there any more?" A little while later, you had a feeling that there's got to be more to a birthday than simply getting a gift. Is this all? And if it is, why all the fuss? As the Lord said, things just don't satisfy. Things are not unimportant, but things cannot be the end of all existence. Things were created by God, or were made out of things that were created by God, but things were not made by God to satisfy the deepest yearnings of the human soul and spirit. Yet people keep running after things, as if a man's life does indeed consist of the things that he has acquired. They don't really believe that this is true, of course, that things will eventually satisfy them, but it's the only way they can go. They don't know any other way. After all, things you can see. What you can't see is probably a dream. That's the way people think. Because people think that way, Jesus went on to tell them this parable. A rich man had land which bore good crops. He began to think to himself, "I don't have a place to keep all my crops. What can I do?" "This is what I will do," he told himself. "I will tear my barns down and build bigger ones where I will store the grain and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, 'Lucky man, you have all the good things you need, for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. Does that sound familiar? In spite of the fact that gold went up in price, people are still buying it. Maybe it will go up another 2 times. The price of oil and gasoline has skyrocketed during this last decade. People are still driving. They're still rushing from here to there and back again to here from there because, as they say, life must go on. And so it must. But is that all there is to life? Is life just a new fur coat which costs as much in some parts of the world as a home today? Is life having that new breakthrough in stereo that you can wrap around your neck like a scarf and listen to music without anybody knowing about it? Is that all there is to life? Beautiful as the music may be that resonates through your bones. Things have a way of piling up. I've noticed that in our neighborhood, there are yard sales, garage sales, and flea markets to unload the surplus stuff. People flock to those sales to accumulate more stuff for themselves, hoping perhaps to unearth a real treasure, but along the way accumulating just some more trash that consists of things. You know as well as I do that there's more to life than stockpiling things. All those things don't satisfy. What's more, you don't have to go out and shoot yourself if you should happen to lose all those things. People have been known to do that, including the heads of corporations, when people set their heart on things. That's what happens. Machines, appliances, and gadgets of all kinds put a little more salt and pepper into life, but they're not the food that keeps people alive. There's more to life than those things. Jesus said, "Life does not consist in the abundance of the things you possess." Losing a friend is a lot harder to take than losing all the things you have. I get letters all the time from people who tell me that their lives have been broken up by the loss of a husband or wife, sometimes through death, and at other times, which may be even harder to take, through the loss of love and the breakup of a family. Breakups like that do not usually happen just overnight. They occur when people in the family are inconsiderate toward one another, neglecting to show love, and refusing to accept love. Eventually, somebody says, there has got to be more to life than this. And the breakup begins. I wish I could tell you about all the people who write to me regarding the hurt they feel because children do not show love to their parents. Or because parents have set their hearts on their children and expect the children to live only for their parents, listening to all their complaints and satisfying their every whim. Not so long ago, a mother wrote to me that she and her husband had tried everything to reestablish a good relationship with their daughter, who now has a family of her own. Whatever the reason, they were unsuccessful. The daughter never replied to the letters they wrote. You can multiply that by the millions. There's a lot of bitterness in the world. There's got to be more to life than this. You get the impression that the man in the parable of the Lord, the one who built the barns and put all his crops away, not just against a rainy day, but as the ultimate satisfaction in life, did not have a friend in the world. He had only one person to talk to, and that was himself. The land of a certain rich man really produced well. He held a conference with himself and said, "What shall I do? Because I don't have any place where I can put together all my income." And he said, "This will I do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and there I will gather together all the grain and all my good things. And I shall say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many good things stored up for many years. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and have a good time.'" God said to him, "You fool. This very night they will take your soul from you. What about all those things you have prepared? To whom will they belong?" "Thus," said Jesus, "it will be for everyone who piles up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God has nothing against things. He made things. He provides things. He makes things beautiful, and he rejoices when they are used in a beautiful way. God is not opposed to an abundance of things. He has his people who are rich and his people who are poor. The rich have to learn how to be poor in spirit. And the poor have to learn, just as the rich do, to be rich toward God. The richest people in the world are the ones who know the grace of God and live in the warmth of his favor. They accept his forgiveness, and they're ready to extend forgiveness to others because they know God. They have what the Bible calls simplicity of heart, which doesn't make anyone a simpleton, but does enrich life so that it becomes satisfying without all of that attachment to things which makes life dreary and dull and desperate. People can be fools, no matter how rich they are. In fact, that's the temptation of the rich, to play the fool. The Lord himself said it's harder for rich people to enter the kingdom of God because they have to break out of that crust which rich people so often build around themselves. It's so easy to become a part of that dream world where people begin to think that a man's life does indeed consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. But the Lord said, it's not impossible for people like that to be saved. With God, he said, nothing is impossible. St. Paul was talking both to rich and to poor people when he said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Are there some things that strike you and stay with you? This is one of the things that struck me and stayed with me ever since I was a boy. It came to me in a hymn that was written on that subject. We are rich, for he was poor. Is not this a wonder? Therefore, praise God evermore, here on earth and yonder. Maybe that's why God sent his son, as he did, without a mortgage to his name. Maybe that's why he had him die as one of us, even though he could have atoned for the world in some other way if God had so wanted him to do. That life of his and that death of his draws the attention of people everywhere, and it also draws respect, admiration, and affection. It calls forth that great quality which the Bible calls faith, that trust in Jesus, which is really trust in God. Faith in God has a richness all its own. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. There must be more to life than that. Jesus did not just tell the world how empty life is without God. He did tell people, as his apostles also did later on, that to be without God is to be without hope in the world. To be without hope is to lose all the joy of life. Is there more to life than just what you see? There certainly is. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. I could tell you about faith in God and how wonderful it is. Maybe that wouldn't do you too much good. Faith in God is something that you have to know and try out for yourself. I can tell you how wonderful God is, as Jesus did. And I can ask the Spirit of God to use the good news of God to bring you to faith in God so that you might live in love even as God loves you and gave his Son to be your Savior. That's why the Son came, to be your Savior. That's why he died, to atone for your sins. That's why his Father raised him from the dead, so that you might live even as he lives, with God and with hope in the world. That takes faith, something the fool in the parable did not have. He had only himself. If you are only what you have, and what you have is lost, who then are you? If you know God loves you, and you certainly can know that when you see and trust Jesus Christ, you can live. You can learn to live without owning a single ounce of gold. You don't have to worry about the treasure laid up for you in heaven. God has taken care of that. Lay it up there, said Jesus, where thieves do not break through and steal, and where all the elements can do nothing to destroy it. Like so many other people, I've seen the gold that was discovered in the tomb of King Tut. Can you imagine what all that gold is worth today? But King Tut is not enjoying it. You can't take it with you. Now take what the Lord has to give. It's His grace to give you life out of the goodness of His heart. He gives you peace through the forgiveness of what is past and through the assurance of what is to be. That's not my idea. It comes straight from Jesus, who died for the sins of the whole world and who was raised from the dead to be the Lord of heaven and earth. I believe Him, and I believe that. So can you. His life is for you. There's more to life than getting and keeping. There is life in receiving and giving. Just as the Son of God gave His life for the many and receives the worship of love from all who are found in Him and live by the power of His resurrection. Life is too short to be thrown away piling up things. There's more to life than that, like taking things God gives and using them for His glory. It's living to love, even as God loves. It's trusting in God enough to throw yourself into the joy of life, which is giving. It's what Jesus Himself did and what He said all of His people are going to do. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. That's life with faith in God. Only the fool piles up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. There's more to life than that. Yes, you are right, Lord Jesus. There's more to life than that. Amen.